This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is the second half of episode 29 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Continuing today's show, here's Lee and the dominant women, Mirdus and Mistress.
What about if someone came into the lifestyle, or even someone who's been in the life for a while now, and they feel like they need education or a mentor? What are your feelings on mentoring somebody or not mentoring somebody?
I'm amazingly opinionated about this subject.
So I'm shocked.
I'm going to preface. I'm going to say this is my opinion, and then I'm just going to go on. Okay. So to me, a mentor is someone who is there to help educate you, help guide you, kind of be a sounding board, and maybe offer you some advice to really be there for you when you need help and assistance, and maybe reach in and say, I see what you're doing and you're not asking me for help, but, and it's my idea of a mentor is someone who is not in your dating pool, who is the same orientation as you. Mm-hmm. If you're a dominant, your mentor should be a dominant. If you're a female and lesbian, maybe your mentor should be a male. Maybe it could be a straight female. Someone who is not in your dating pool, someone where there's not going to be any chance of romantic attachment or feelings, because a mentor's opinion and a mentor's advice should be unbiased. I mean, obviously it's going to be biased because it's coming from a person who would at some point care about you as a person, but it should not be their opinions or the way that they guide you shouldn't be based on whether or not they're going to get laid or whether or not they're going to get to play with you. Although maybe there could be some play, just
teaching play
to learn about this or that. It shouldn't be like a scene. It shouldn't be sexual in any way. It shouldn't be romantic in any way. And I think that anyone entering that relationship would do so. I would take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. I would take it as a relationship of responsibility, almost like a big brother or big sister. And I think that there are a lot of people who advertise themselves. They put themselves out there to say, I am willing to be a mentor. Mm-hmm. And I kind of question their motives because, again, it's very personal and it's a very responsible relationship, in my opinion. I'm going to keep saying that anyway. Mm-hmm. And so someone who is so free to just say, yeah, I'll mentor you. I'll mentor anybody. Anybody want a mentor? I'll be a mentor. I don't think that person is placing the same amount of responsibility into it as
they're not taking it as seriously as they need to, probably.
Yeah. I completely agree with absolutely everything you've said, wholeheartedly, completely. And I would even say that someone who puts themselves out there as a mentor to absolutely anybody is exactly the person you do not want. You, if you really are looking for help in the lifestyle, I would prefer that they would look just for a friend, you know, maybe somebody to discuss things with or discuss their feelings with. Because if you have Google, you can research most of these things. You can. Not always the right answers, as we know with the internet, but you can read things and we can help you and point you in the right direction if you're a friend. I would prefer a friendship situation to calling it a mentorship, just because there's they're like you say, there's so much responsibility and expectation rolled up into that word. And for one person, it means one thing. And for another person, it means something totally different. And it's just a word that I try to stay away from now. I don't even... I'd rather just be your friend. Can I just be your friend? Yeah.
I'll give you advice. Basically, that's, you know, what a good mentor is, someone who's going to give you sound advice based on their experiences in the world or the lifestyle or what have you. Yeah. So when you came into the lifestyle, did you have a mentor or someone to help you or to train? Did you go through any kind of training? You know, what gives you the right to say, I'm a dom, you know?
Yeah, what gives you the right?
Yeah, what makes you think that you're the dom?
Do you want to go? Or you want me to go?
No, you go first this time.
My background is very convoluted and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been through some very strange relationships and situations. Gosh, I guess I should elaborate. Okay, I'm going to elaborate.
Okay.
I was an exotic dancer for 11 years. During that time, most of my shows were BDSM oriented. I came on stage in full gear, did my thing. So, of course, my interactions with most men have always been that when I was working. When I first started doing that, I only did it because it was, you know, I was drawn to it and it was hot and I loved it. I love that power. And I was just sucked in and, but didn't know a damn thing. So for me, it was all screwing up, just fucking up over and over again until I realized that I was hurting, like emotionally hurting people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't know it at first. It takes a while and it takes a little age and a little wisdom to understand that you cannot go through life stomping on people anymore.
Yeah.
And for me, that was what happened with me.
I can understand that because a relationship between a submissive and a dominant are very deep and very connected and just so much more than a love story, you know, and you fall so, I know my first one, it was just like falling in love for the first time.
It is
only
that.
Deeper.
Sure.
It was like this connection. I was giving up all control, you know, and to me that was just like,
but for me,
such a head rush, you know.
In the beginning for me, it wasn't emotional for me. It was always a power trip. It was always conquering. It was always a path of destruction.
Yeah.
That's what it was in the beginning for me. And then this was when I'm 49 now. I was in my 20s. Okay, give me a break.
Yeah. You're the one beating yourself up.
No, it's true. Can you feel like, yes, I feel very bad about that because I did. I did hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Not physically.
Emotionally.
Just emotionally.
Yeah.
Because you have that power, and having that kind of power, you need to be able to temper it.
Yeah.
You have to learn to understand that a lot of submissives are very deep-hearted and can really be taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we see it now, I mean, it, you know?
Well, yeah.
But you have to care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't care then, but I do now.
Yeah. You have to care. You cannot. Yeah. You can. You can beat some. I can beat somebody that I don't care about, and I can do it well, and they can be happy, and everybody can walk away happy.
Right. The difference between a scene and a relationship.
Yes. Right. But in a relationship, you have to care. You cannot be that fantasy stern bitch that just is a cold, icy cunt, and then do all those. Some of the things that we do are pretty fucked up if you look at them from the outside, you know. But to do those things and play with somebody's mind and heart and body and do it in a way that you're not going to damage them, you have to care about them.
Yeah.
You just have to.
The scenes are always better when there's that. When you have the connection with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can go out and have a scene with someone. And it can even be kind of a hard scene. And I'm not a hard player. I consider myself medium.
Medium.
Not mild and not spicy. Somewhere in the middle.
A little bit of both worlds.
But even if it's a really good scene, it is not nearly as intense if you don't have that something with that person. Male or female, doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I've had some of my most intense scenes with friends, with people that weren't my lovers, but were really close friends, and just had an amazing scene just because the connection is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a fun scene with you one time at the club with fire cupping.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that was fun.
I lit your panties on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awesome.
You're the best fire cupper ever. I stole all your tricks. All of them. I stole them.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad. That's what they're there for.
Yes.
That's why you play in public.
Oh, my gosh. We had such fun. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the beginning, Mistress, how did you have a mentor? Did you have a trainer?
I had several people offer to be my mentor and trainer.
Oh, okay. And?
No.
No.
you know, I had somebody tell me, but kind of in the beginning when I first came into the scene in Nashville, which is right when that club opened. So I guess right around the time of Katrina.
Yeah.
Tell me that the only way to be a good dominant was to be a submissive yeah, first.
That's not true.
And I explained to him that I was also a really good cook, but I did not learn to be a frying pan first to become a really good cook. And he kind of, you know, did that thing where his
head
turned.
That's a very, very common saying. It is. Very
it is common.
Common.
And
I happen to agree with it in a lot of ways, but go ahead.
There are people who feel like they need to go through that and they need to experience
and
it.
And they should if you feel
and
that.
Yeah, absolutely. If that works for them, do it. Do it twice. You know, just do it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't going to work for me. Like I said, I had experimented. I had gone through those motions. And I wasn't learning anything from that except how much I wanted to hurt the person who was trying to put me through that.
Yeah. For me, it was always how they were not doing it the way they should be doing it.
Yeah.
The whole time I was down there, you know, trying to be a good girl.
Give me that.
You don't know what you're doing. You're completely not on top of this at all.
Right. Yeah. And so I was out in the community. You know, as I said, I was identified as dominant for years before I found the community here in Nashville. And I tried to find a community where I was, and I didn't have a good experience. I tried over and over again and did not have a good experience.
Props to the Nashville community.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Coming to Nashville, when I did, there was a club over by the railroad tracks in Donelson, and I went there a couple times. And then I went to this other scary place over in Antioch a couple times. And then Katrina happened, and the Mark opened. And I went to the Mark, and there were people, there were lots of people who were just like me. They looked like me, they talked like me, they acted like me. And as, you know, and that was my first impression. And as time went on, I got to know certain people that, as I got to know them, I said, well, this person is sensible. You know, they're not talking crazy about ancient European houses. And, you know, I mean, they were...
Wait a
minute,
us history geeks are out there.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean that I've been trained in the...
Yes, the ancient European, you know, all that crap.
Yeah.
So they were normal people who happened to have the same interest that I had. And I just talked to them, and I tried things, and I started out not so slowly. I would love to say I started out slowly, but within my first 6 months, I was driving nails through somebody's scrotum. So I can't.
And doing a very, very
fine
job.
You had only been in the lifestyle 6 months at that time?
That was in February or March of 2006. Yeah, I had been actually practicing and out for like 6 months.
Wow.
And it was awesome. That's one of the most
talked about scenes ever.
Yeah. But it was also, I mean, the adrenaline rush that I had, I don't remember most of that evening.
I could not believe it when I heard it. But
I was so high. I mean, I was just so high on adrenaline and endorphins that it just went by. And all I could think the next day, not all I could think, but one of the biggest things that I was really thankful for the next day was that there had been a huge group of people there. Because had I tried to do that on my own at home, we videotaped it. So I could go back and watch it, and I did. And I did everything exactly as I wanted to. But had something happened, I don't know for sure that I would have been able to respond correctly.
Just because of where your head was at.
Yeah, because I was so high. I mean, yeah, I was floating. I was flying so high that I hope I would have.
But how do you know you were doing it without causing serious
harm to him. I did quite a bit of research. Okay. I did quite a bit of research.
And how big was the nail that you...
They were 8 penny nails.
Oh, and you just...
I saw pictures of that.
I saw pictures too.
Yeah, they were big nails.
I have a question. Totally kind of a little bit off topic. Sure. Did you find, after that happened, did you find more people approaching you or less people approaching you?
Yeah.
Was there fear or fascination?
It was a lot of, I want to ride the ride.
Really?
Yeah. There was a lot of that. And it was, I can't even tell you how, I have no idea how many people contacted me on Collar Me and asked me to do the same thing to them.
Wow.
Hundreds.
Really?
Literally hundreds. And then the one guy who said that I was a felonious sociopath who had obviously taken advantage of a mentally ill person.
Wow.
It's hard if you're looking in from the outside to understand the motivation or like why do we want to do the things that we do? Sometimes I think for a lot of normal people, I hate to say normal, for a lot of vanilla people, it is difficult to understand our motivations, you know. It's hard.
It is. It really, really is. And I'm sure some people took offense to you doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
There were plenty of people in the community who never said anything to my face, but had they were very vocal behind my back.
I'm sure.
Was it because you were kind of newish, or do you think it was just in general?
I think it was just in general. I think that there are people who are going to rain on anybody's parade no matter what. If it's not them, if they're not the one getting the attention, then whatever else is happening is it's all bad. And, you know, those kind of people exist everywhere.
Yeah, you're going to find people who disagree with whatever. If they don't like the person, they're going to raise holy hell about, oh, well, did you see this person do this and that at the market? Oh, my God, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anytime you get a group of people together, you're going to have your gossip. You're going to have a lot of that stuff
going on.
Oh,
yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, it was nobody, not one person at the club came to my face and said,
oh, no. No, they wouldn't.
You shouldn't do this. I don't. And it was well known.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knew that it was going to happen for quite some time before it happened. And before, during, or after, not one person said to me, you shouldn't do that.
Because we're so scary.
Right. But yeah, plenty of people. They're, and I mean, I don't want to say
it's,
plenty.
It's just cheap backward talk, you
know? Yeah. There were several people who were very vocal.
I'm sure.
And
it'd be one thing if it was really out of concern, but I don't think that it was.
Well, it would be one thing if they actually came to me. I mean, even if I'm too scary to approach and these people were all of the same mindset as myself, send me an email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, the person you did this on really wanted to have it done. And, you know, you were just facilitating his fantasy.
And he is not a mentally ill.
No, and he's been in the lifestyle a long time, and absolutely knew what he wanted to do. So, and I think it's awesome that you were able to fulfill his needs.
I mean, we're talking about it, 4 years later? How long ago was that?
8 years ago.
8 years ago, even longer than I thought. So it was a big deal, and it still is something that people remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just one of those things. It's going to be that way.
Yeah. Would you say that's one of your most memorable scenes, or is there something more that you like better?
No, that was pretty memorable. I've definitely had scenes that were more intense. I've had scenes that were as good and better since then.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the one, I mean, that's the one that people who don't know me know about it. I walked up to a group of people. I was in school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to a group of people at school who don't know anything about me. And they were talking about it.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. And this girl was...
But not in relationship to you, just in general talk?
No, this girl was talking about it as if she were there.
She wasn't there.
No.
That's how gossip is, though.
Yeah. So she was talking about it as if she were there, and she actually went so far as to say that she had taken the hammer out of this woman's hand because she was an EMT, or she was maybe training to be an EMT. That may have been why she was in school. I don't even remember. Something about she had taken the hammer and she saved this man's life, and I was like,
you're the stuff of legend.
I'm looking at her going, and I said,
that's awesome.
I didn't see you at all.
But at that point, and, you know, if it gets to that point, you just have to be like, well, it's just in the universe at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it was,
it's like being on the internet or something.
Yeah. I mean, really? it was.
So you confronted her?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. Right. As she was talking, I said, I didn't see you anywhere.
See, I'm surprised you did that because I wouldn't think that you'd like out it in, you know, school.
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't care. You were mad. You know, so you were angry.
I took a submissive on a 8-foot chain link leash to school.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was great.
Because I know you do try to keep it very private and separate.
Well, I do, but this was, I mean, I guess
you
school
did
was
what?
Different. Yeah, so I had...
just one time.
My brain's finally
so
catching up.
So this one time in school. my assignment was to break a social norm.
Ah.
Go out in public and break a social norm. So, I don't know, one guy jumped in a swimming pool wearing a trench coat. Somebody else. I mean, they're just, you know, trying to get reactions. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're like, that's lame.
Yeah. So, and so we had to do it, and then we had to come to class and talk about it. So I had, at the time, I was living with my female submissive, and she met me at school with her collar on, and I had this, like, 8 feet big, heavy chain link.
Pitbull chain.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I clipped that on her, and we walked from the parking lot
mm-hmm.
all the way through. Now, another reason that I chose, because I knew there would be no children present,
mm-hmm.
right? So we walked all the way through mm-hmm. the school, and, you know, being here in the South...
You're so bad. Oh, my goodness.
Every African-American person was about to kill me.
Really?
All of them. Even though she was Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
The looks, it was amazing. And so walked into the classroom, sat down at my desk. She knelt on the floor next to me, and she had my notebook, and she was ready to take notes.
Wow.
And all the guys in the class were trying to high-five me.
Oh, I bet.
That's awesome.
And then there was a girl that sat like two desks in front and over. And she turned around and she looked at the sub and said, are you okay with this? And the sub looked at me and I said, you may speak. And this little girl lost her mind. What? You may speak? What? And I mean, for probably... It took her a good 5 minutes to regain her composure.
Wow.
And yeah, that was perfect. I mean, it was
this the class that had asked you to do that? Okay, that was
so
perfect.
You got an A, right?
I did.
All right, good.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's great. I saw a girl leading a guy on dog chain and leash in the mall.
Yes.
At the Rivergate mm-hmm. Mall. And I was like, they got balls.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be too afraid to do something like that out in public. Just
well,
me,
you know,
I guess.
Okay.
It depends what your reasoning is.
Yeah.
What's behind it.
It does. But also, that is non-consensual. I mean, that I think goes too far. I mean, I know I exposed mm-hmm. a bunch of adults
mm-hmm.
to whatever they might think that was. You know,
right.
And I was at school, so, I mean, you would hope that people in college have a little more open-mindedness and free thinking. And there were no children.
Okay.
And I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
When you're going down to the local grocery store or fast food place or restaurant or any place where there could be children, especially, you wouldn't walk around in a teddy and a garter. It doesn't mean you have to be on your church behavior, but you do have to consider that you're going out in public and anybody can see you. And if you do something like that in public, then you are exposing people non-consensually to, you know, whatever your thing is.
Yeah.
You don't need to push your lifestyle or fantasy in the general public space. It's one thing when we're at the club because we're all there and we're all there for what we are there for, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as far as breaking social norms, I'd say you for sure did that.
Yeah. I would have loved to have had a movie camera of that one. That would have been great. What's your hottest scene, Medusa?
I don't do very heavy scenes. I think the heaviest thing I do is cuttings. I do some artistic cutting, mm-hmm. which can freak some people out. I've had people, or needles, things like that. But it's very different for me when I'm doing something like that. It's very technical and mm-hmm. it's more clinical. Clinical is a great word. Yes.
Yeah.
It's much more clinical for me, even though it's an artistic cutting. I'm in a very clinical headspace. Mm-hmm. Probably the best scenes for me. In fact, the one scene that stands out when you ask me that is and it's just a silly scene. We just did a tickle scene. Were you there? Okay. I did a tickle scene with my submissive. Mm-hmm. And we just had the mats on the floor, and he's extremely hypersensitive. He's so ticklish that he cannot control himself body-wise.
Ah.
He is just a fish a-floppin', you know, which I am just, it just makes me just so happy, and it's a control thing uh-huh. also, but it was so much fun and we had a great time and it lasted for a while. And we had a very long after part as well where, mm-hmm. We just sat and he was just naked and I just kind of just sat there and just kind of stroked his body for like a really long time.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I think that to me was probably the best one. And it's because we have a relationship, there's something there. It's not just some guy that I was tickling on the floor, which would be nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You play with other people or do you just play with your submissive?
I haven't been publicly playing for about a year now. I've had some chronic pain issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to get motivated sometimes to get up and go out and get dressed up and put makeup on when you don't feel very good.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, I do play like men or women. It's the person. If they appeal to me
mm-hmm.
intellectually or physically, I'm good for a scene.
Okay. All yeah. right. Got anything you want to touch on before we end this shindig?
Does everybody think that we're sitting here in black leather? Because that would be very awesome if everybody thought that. let's say your day-to-day lifestyle dominant.
Oh, what are some of the misconceptions?
Yes.
Yeah, that people think of you.
That would be the number one, yeah. is that I'm always on, because I'm not always on. When you live 24/7 as a dominant in your household, it's very difficult. You can't, like Ms. Stress was saying, you cannot be that cunt all the time.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't be on all the time.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I don't walk around the house in high-heeled boots and leather.
Oh, what a shame.
But I have no problem with anybody thinking that I do.
And my every waking thought is not about which hole I'm going to stick my dildo in next.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I watch TV and play video games just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds unromantic and it sounds, not hot and sexy, but I think that I know that a lot of men are conditioned to find what they want, ask for what they want, and get what they want. And so they end up running around with this fantasy in their head that they think that they need to ask for and tell you about, and they think that they need to get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably 10% of what a real dominant submissive relationship is about.
Yeah.
I mean, the mind games can go on endlessly, but the physical play is just not, it's not as prevalent as what, mm-hmm. People have in their mind. They wouldn't think of a vanilla relationship of, having sex
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 times a day or having, or even once a day. Maybe
less than that. For in my house. In my house, it's not even all that crazy sex stuff that everybody assumes. When people hear that, I hear I live with two men. Okay, they just think that I am just out there. Oh my god,
you're riding it all the time.
Pony Express every day, and that's not happening. It's, you know, it's more about the relationship, the dynamic that we have at home day to day. Is actually, I am in charge, and that's just how we operate. But it isn't this crazy fantasy that most people envision it as. You know, I'm not getting, I don't want it. I don't want it that
we
much
don't
anymore.
Walk in the door from work, put on our leather, strap on the dildo, and go to town.
No, and I stay home. So I'm cooking, I'm cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I operate as a 50s housewife in a way.
Yeah.
But I'm still in charge. So I'm like the 50s housewife.
You are such a dichotomy. You are amazing.
I'm like a mess.
I know. You're canning and growing and tending to the chickens.
I do. I'm very homesteady. I have chickens and do all that. But I like that control. I need that control. It used to come from a bad place, but now it comes from a caring place. So I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. I think if there's anything that I wanted to like leave with, that would be the one thing I'd want to leave out there, is that it's about caring about that person more so than just controlling that person. You know, I need the mm-hmm. control, but it's got to be given to me, and it's got to be a back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my one thing. If you had one thing you wanted people to think about you, what would it be?
For me, the relationship is key. And that is the primary importance. But the play is more fun and release than it is dark and evil. And I mean, it might be that, but it's not about being dark and evil. It's about fun and release.
It's almost like
enjoyment.
Yoga.
Yeah.
The way people view yoga or running
mm-hmm.
is kind of the endorphin area that we work in.
Very cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You have been listening to episode 29 of the Kinky Cast. Today we featured Dominant Women, Mistress, and Medusa. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and Lee, I'm Max. See you next week when we visit a rockin' house party.